Our Old Testament scripture today is from Job, chapter 42, verses 1 through 5. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Our New Testament reading today is Mark 7, verses 1 through 13. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning we are privileged to have James Statham, retired minister, bring God's word to us. He is most famous for being Todd's dad. He really sets a high standard for all of us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim, bless you, brother.
Thank you.
God, bring your word to us clearly and plainly. Work in us by your spirit, by your servant, Jim. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ross. Well, it's good to be back here amongst our home denomination. My wife and I live in Lilius. We live in Peachland, so it's some distance for us to be involved in ministry here. So we're active in a congregation in West Kelowna. And it was a treat also coming here. I'm getting feedback. Treat also coming here. Clear skies. We couldn't see across the lake this morning. Anyway, it is good to be back here. It's been a while. I've had the privilege of leading worship here, but it's good to be here. And yeah, Todd apparently was here 2 weeks ago, and he's sort of the chip off the old block. But I just want to say this morning, if he's the chip, this old block isn't calcified yet. But I feel sometimes like I'm getting there. Well, let's open God's word together, please. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would give me your words, and that your words however they may be heard, would only be said in the hearts and minds of all of us who listen. Teach us, Lord, how you want us to live, who you want us to be. We know that you want us to be like Jesus. And so help us this morning, Lord, where we are weak. Strengthen us also where we are strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 7, 1 to 2 says this. Oh, excuse me, just a minute. No, I am going to read this because this is important to start with. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating their food with hands that were ritually unclean. That is, they had not washed them in the way the Pharisees said people should. So I want to ask this morning, have any of you ever had a performance review at work? You've had a performance review, any? Just one? A couple of people over here? Oh, no, the hands are all getting a little bit more honest, I think. Now, we've all had performance reviews. You know what's happening right now? I'm getting one. I'm getting a performance review. That's happening right now. Emery gets one every Sunday. Of course, he gets one every Sunday. And those of you who are teachers, all right, there's my sermon title. What's wrong with it? You're going to do a... The teachers have probably already done a performance review on my sermon title. Because it's bad grammar, isn't it? You don't realize that? Uh-oh. I'm in trouble already, Ross. What should it say? Doing it right isn't... What should it say? What's the word you want? What? Rightly? Thank you. You get an A. Doing it correctly is proper grammar. So, we've learned something already today. That's a performance review on my sermon title. Well, some businesses do performance reviews every couple of years. Our daughter Charlene teaches in a Christian school, and she's also vice president there. And she gets a government performance review for the whole school every 2 years. The seminary I went to had a performance review by the authorities every 7 years to make sure that they're all academically up to standards. Me? Have I ever had a performance review? Well, as a pastor, yes, of course. But I gave myself a performance review before I retired. And it was an emotional experience for me. I struggled with it. You see, a few years before I retired, I was anxious about retirement. Not in the usual way. I was anxious because I wondered what my faith was going to look like. As pastors, we're in the scriptures a lot. Every Sunday, preparing for worship, sermons, etc. When I retire, that's gone. You can laugh if you want, but I was worrying that I was going to lose or diminish my faith when I retired. How would I maintain it? What would happen to me? Would I wash up? What was going to happen when I retired? Where would my faith go? Would it grow or diminish? Well, I have to say, am I off again? Just doesn't sound right. Sorry. All right, I can project my voice a bit more. I can say that since I retired, my faith has grown. My faith has grown tremendously. It has. And I've been retired 11 years. Yeah. So, God answered my prayer. Not that I would lose my faith. It grew. I didn't expect that. But he gave me new challenges when I retired. I had to struggle and wrestle with God. And when you wrestle with God, as it says in with Jacob, Jacob won. He won. God does that for us. So here's a performance review for Jesus. That's what I just read, those first two verses. Performance review from Jesus. Jesus got frequent performance reviews from the Pharisees. They'd come up with their clipboards from Jerusalem and checking them out. Now, usually the Pharisees get bad press in the pulpit, right? And rightly so. But today, I want to just say this. We got to give them credit for their earnestness. They're protecting the purity of the Jewish religion. They'd learned their lessons, you see, from the Babylonian exiles and the faithlessness of the Israelites at the time when they failed to worship the Lord. So they don't want that to happen again. Don't let it be repeated. We have to admire their devotion. But they're wrong. They're wrong. They added to God's word. They added to the Old Testament law. They had 613 laws they had created. Some of them very strange laws. And here's one we're reading about today, how to wash your hands properly before you eat. One of my first experiences with the 613 was on one of my trips to Israel, where we were a group of pastors, nine of us actually from the Presbytery of Vancouver Island, pretty well the whole presbytery we went. And we're waiting one Saturday morning in the bus for the rest of the guys to come down from the hotel. And they're late. It's 8 a.m. We're supposed to be going somewhere. And they're late. And they come gradually in the bus and they're muttering and complaining. What are they complaining about? The elevators. Did you know that Shabbat elevators? There's two in every hotel in Israel. And they work only on the Shabbat, the Saturday, the Sabbath. One is for odd-numbered floors. One is for even-numbered floors. You make a mistake and get on a Shabbat elevator, you don't have to push any buttons. That's how they work. They're automatic. So it takes a long time to get from your room down to the lobby. And we did, that's their first trip. We didn't know this. So that's one of those laws they have still today. If you ever go to Israel and you're there on a Saturday, make sure you get the right elevator. So the Israelites at the time of Jesus had 613 laws. Judaism was not producing the faith that it should have and could have produced. So one asked this morning, how are you keeping your faith alive? If you're a man or woman of faith, how are you keeping it alive? Or maybe you're here this morning because you don't have faith and you want to check God out and find out more about who God is and what He's like. That's wonderful. Keep coming. You'll find what you're looking for and be blessed because of it. So my sermon this morning is on doing it right. Doing it right. What? Doing our faith correctly. Correctly. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you. Verses 3 and 4 are an insert for non-Jewish readers, just explaining, you know, what the Jews do about all their hand washing, etc. I won't read those. And verse 5 is interesting. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why is it that your disciples do not follow the teaching handed down by our ancestors, but instead eat with ritually unclean hands? I'm going to translate that. It comes out like this. Why do you worship God differently with methods unfamiliar to me? Or why do you worship God? Why do you want to honor God why don't you honor God or worship God the way I do? Maybe you've wondered about that. Because that's just a rough translation of what's being said here. Why do you not worship God the way I do? Because people do worship God differently within the Christian church. Is there a way then that God is to be honored? Is there a way that God is to be worshipped, particular way? Yes. And it has nothing to do with law or traditions, very little, or rituals, or the lack of them. Of course, God can only be worshipped His way. God's word, Scripture, is very clear about this. Now, as we all know, traditions change in the Christian church. We develop new ones that also are in danger of being calcified. We cling to our traditions, like the Pharisees, and they lose their value. They can become laws. And the result is that we end up with a poor performance review from God, because we've lost something. We're clinging to our traditions, the ways we do things. The message of the church is very clear as to who Jesus Christ is, what He's done for us on the cross, and the new life He offers us. The traditions of the church will change as we seek to honor and glorify Christ through the decades and the centuries. But this is scaffolding for our faith. We dare not make the scaffolding for our faith become our faith. The observation of Jesus points us in the right direction. These people, says God, honor me with their words, but their heart is really far away from me. Yes. We're talking this morning about heart worship. That's got to be the foundation for all of us when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless our worship is from our hearts, it can be vain or empty. The traditions in our churches, or the lack of them, can become like those countries that have arranged marriages, where a couple meet. They don't know each other. They get married. And the hope is that knowledge of the other person and love for the other person grows. I often ask people, can you worship Christ in any church? And that's a good question to ask. Could you go to a different denomination or a different congregation? Can you? We need to answer that question. Can you worship God? I'm not encouraging anybody to leave here, by the way, at Mountain View. No. But it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Can I worship God in any church? Regardless of its traditions or the lack of it? If they're faithful to Scripture. That's the key point. Our daughter is very Reformed. Very Presbyterian, and she goes to a church in Maple Ridge that has been described as a step beyond Pentecostal. Yeah, the people love Jesus. The pastors are sound. Yeah, and the worship team—they're jumping all the time. All right, Jason's got it easy here. If he goes to this congregation, he'd be expected to be jumping all the time while he's singing. Yeah, she worships there. She's got a faith that's transportable. Is your faith transportable? Open to changes in traditions. You know, I have to say, I'm doing something this morning I have never done in my life. I've been a pastor 50 years. This is the first sermon I've preached without my dog collar. You think that's funny? See, I'm breaking my tradition deliberately just to illustrate the point of my message. I don't have my dog collar on, and I don't feel naked or anything, but the important thing isn't the collar. I know for some people, it's important that a pastor up here have a dog collar on, and for other people, what's that? But what I want you to hear this morning isn't how I'm dressed or what I'm wearing, but I want you to hear about Jesus. I want you to hear the Scriptures and the truth that's there. For us to find that our faith might be found, strengthened, so that when we get that performance review on the last day, we pass. If you have a heart for Christ, your faith will be transportable. If you have heart worship. Lillis and I go to a Lutheran church in West Kelowna because it's closer. And I never thought I'd end up in a church that's high church. You know, they light candles and the pastor does this sign and he's always wearing his dog collar. And there's things they do there I don't really understand. But that's okay. The pastor loves Jesus. And the people do. And they have opened up ministry for my wife and I. So that's how we give. Jesus describes the Pharisees that says their heart is really far away from me. Yeah. Because they've adopted their traditions and they're clinging to them. Dare we do a performance review on our faith? I did it for my retirement. Didn't realize I was doing it, but my anxiety took over. The Pharisees are going in the wrong direction. They failed Jesus' performance review. So I've got to ask myself this question this morning, and you can ask it of yourself. Could I know and love Jesus more? That's always true for me, right to today. I could love and know Jesus more. Maybe some of you went to camp or had kids who went to camp or grandchildren. What do they come back telling you? They come back telling you, I got Jesus in my heart. And you know, years ago I thought that was so cheesy, but you know, at a kid's little kid's level, that's true. No, I understand how profound it is. Because we have to have Jesus in our heart if we're going to be able to worship Him and know Him correctly. Yeah. So make sure your grandkids or your kids get to camp and learn how to have Jesus in their heart. This morning I'm asking, am I serious about my faith in Jesus Christ? How serious? We're given choices. To have the love that leads to heart worship. Or we can buy into the shallowness of our culture in self-identifying as a Christian. Yeah, that's so easy to do. I'm a Christian. If you ask, we have a whole few of Ukrainian Christians in our church that we've brought over and are supporting. And if you ask them if they're Christians, they'll say, well, yes, I love Jesus. In our tradition, ask one of us, are you a Christian? What do we say? I go to church. Do you see the difference? Yeah. I love Jesus. You have to know Him to love Him. So I want to share with you what changed my heart for the Lord over the years, but especially since I retired after I gave myself that performance review. What changed my heart was my experience of Christ. Yeah, my experience of Jesus in my life. It started with my head. Head conviction. The necessity of the cross of Jesus Christ became more profound for me. Oh, the holiness of God. Yes, I grasped that more firmly and valued it more firmly. God has to be holy because it makes all His other attributes, His love, His patience, His anger, everything else perfect. Makes it perfect. So God has to be holy. And I was reading in a book not too long ago about this very subject of the holiness of God. And the author said, God is holy without reference to sin. And that just brought me up short. I thought, wow. Because we think of holiness as, you know, referring to sins. No, God is so holy without reference to sin. I like that. And that just drew me closer to the Lord and His beauty and His power and His attributes. They're going to be all perfect. And also, what changed my heart was my experience of Christ was the fact of the truth of the gospel. I've considered other options of belief. We all have, I'm sure, other religions, secularism, and found them empty and wanting. And we need to think about the other options, because they'll push us back to Jesus and to God's Word. The other thing that helped me with my own performance review was I realized I needed change. I'm not holy. I'm a sinful man. I struggle with it. It made for me the cross of Jesus Christ an absolute necessity, where He took my sins and your sins and paid the price so that a sinful person can stand in the presence of God, who is so holy, without reference to sin, so holy. We can stand in the presence of God because Christ's blood was shed for us. And that's at the very core of what we believe. I need change. That's been coming, and it's still to come. So I'm still a seeker at my age. I'm still seeking Jesus Christ. And lastly, what changed my heart more for the Lord was my experience of Christ. Yes, the peace and blessing He gives us, because He does, when we seek Him. We have assurance, we have peace, we have security, and I love Acts 2:28. Acts 2:28. You have shown me the paths that lead to life, and your presence will fill me with joy. Ah, doesn't it? That's true for many of you, if not all of you, I hope. Yeah, Jesus deserves all of me. He deserves my heart allegiance first, and not my slavish obedience to the traditions of my denomination or to non-denominationalism. As a pastor, I don't want to just have a heartless performance of my Christian duty as a pastor and show up at worship to lead worship or just to see my friends because it's a job. No. I don't want to sit at the Lord's table with no appetite for a meal. No. Jesus deserves all of me, my heart allegiance first. And to have a transportable faith not restricted by personality or the traditions of the church or people around me, or blindly infused with secular seductions, I want that. One of the challenges I faced a number of years ago regarding this whole matter of having a faith not restricted by the traditions of the church, I've got to tell you about Greg. He's a real person. Greg was on a bus with me. We were crossing the Sinai. It was a tour group I'd taken from my church. Just a young fella. And I'd married he and his wife, within the year, I can't remember, maybe a few months ago. And he and his wife were coming on this trip to Israel. And we were crossing the Sinai. And he said to me, "Jim, when we get to the Sea of Galilee, I'd like you to baptize me." Yeah. So I thought, oh no. Oh no. What a question, you know. We had several days before we got to the Sea of Galilee because we were just still in Egypt. But, oh, I wrestled with this. You know why? Because I didn't have my book with me for the service of baptism. I didn't have it with me. And he hadn't taken the course that I give to anybody who wants to be baptized. And the elders, because it's a Presbyterian church, the elders had not given permission for this guy to be baptized by me. So there, I couldn't do it. It was like he hadn't washed his hands the right way. So I thought, oh, gee, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, this is going to be this is a real challenge for me with my traditions. And you know, they're good traditions and important traditions. The course, the permission. But I had time to talk with him. And I came to the realization this guy was a seeker. And he was genuine. So at 6 a.m. at Gennesaret, I baptized him. And the whole tour group was there before breakfast. They all wanted to be there to see this. There was even some Korean Christians taking all sorts of pictures. You know, they were so excited to see this baptism in the Sea of Galilee. And boy, did we ever give it to Greg. We warned him. Greg, you're getting baptized here. If you ever fall away from the Lord, I'm not driving in a car with you. I'm not flying in any plane that you're going to go on. If you fall away from the Lord, we warned him. And I keep in touch. He and his wife are active with a missionary group on the island still today. She does the books. Yeah. I broke my traditions. You trust the Lord. Praise God. So what can I do to find heart worship? The heart worship that Jesus is talking about. I want to have it. I want it more. What can I do so my traditions and routines don't get calcified? So, you know, I have to wear a dog collar if I'm going to preach or whatever, however you want to translate that for yourself. What can I do to find heart worship? First thing is to decide I want to change. And to pray and ask the Lord to change you. Where he wants to change you. Because you won't turn out like me and you won't turn out like the person sitting next to you. The body of Christ has got variety in it, praise God. First step, decide to change. Another thing to consider, if you want to find heart worship, would you know if what you currently believe about God is biblical? Or have you swallowed some of that Kool-Aid that comes from the secular culture? You know, it's not good enough today just to be able to say, oh, it's in the Bible. What I believe is in the Bible. We need to know. And secondly, we need to seek Jesus. He is the Word of God. So what is written here, then, are words from God. True words. John 1:1. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. Or verse 4. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. To your life and to mine. How to find heart worship? We need to realize the Christian faith is not primarily about being moral. Look at the people Jesus chose and the Holy Spirit chose. Saul. The Christian faith is not primarily about being moral, but about intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. An intimacy that leads to new life, as it has for me and for my wife. And I'm confident for many of you. One person I really love, and I think many of you will, is Job. And maybe you're wondering how I'm going to get around to it. Well, I'm just closing here. Job, you see, had a horrible performance review, didn't he? Yeah. He was tested terribly and sifted terribly. His wife wanted him to curse God. And his friends weren't any help. He refused to curse God. He remained faithful to the end. He wasn't perfect. He remained faithful to the end. Job 42, verse 5. This is what he says at the end of it all. In the past, I only knew what others had told me. Does that describe anyone here? In the past, I only knew what others had told me, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Yeah. His heart changed. He saw God with his own eyes. I pray that occurs to all of us. And the woman at the well? Yeah. That's John 4:42. What did she say? Or the villagers say? We believe now, not because of what you said. Like, not because of what any preacher has said. Or anybody else. We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him. And we know that he really is the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus changed my life. He's changing your life and has changed it. And he wants to change my life more and your life more. Let's not be afraid of that. But begin with a desire and a prayer for heart worship, that we may know Jesus in all his fullness and glory. Let's pray. Lord, let not your word be wasted this morning on any of us, but bring each of us to a fullness of life, that we may love you more and know you more. Let us, Lord, not hold back our hearts or our wills or anything from you. For you have died loving us, that we may know and love you more. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.